Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Hey, good morning. Well, we welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us today. It's great to see you all here inside of our sanctuary. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor here. I'm so glad that y'all are in church today. Welcome our friends who are also joining us on Facebook Live. We're all saying hello to each other here and now, and our friends who are joining us through our website. We're glad that you are part of our virtual wider family of faith this morning. We ask that as we get ready for worship, you are invited to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in the main doors this morning. And on the right-hand side, you can find our little tear-off sheet that says connect at the very top. And so you're invited to connect with us by filling this out and letting us know that you were here in church today. You can also jot down prayer concerns or praises that are happening in your life on the backside. You can also tick one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about growing your faith here through our congregation. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering baskets that our ushers will pass and then receive later on in our worship. For our friends who are joining us online, you can go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org. You can download a copy of our worship bulletin there, and you can follow along with us from wherever you find yourself this morning. You're invited to take a look at the backside of your bulletin. You see things that are going on in the life of our church today and throughout this week. As you are going there, Pastor Annika is away on vacation this Sunday, and so we hope that she has a great day and a great week. We look forward to having her back with us next Sunday morning. We hope and trust that you are saving the date for our Fall Family Fun Day next Saturday at Bill and Sue Carter's house. It'll be a great afternoon. There's our bounce house, pumpkin painting, canoeing, lots of food. And so it'll be a wonderful time. And so we hope that you will join us at their house next Saturday afternoon for a little Fall Family Fun. Next Sunday after this worship service is our next Meet the Pastors gathering, a fun gathering that we have once a quarter for new friends, new members, folks who are thinking about joining the church or simply would like to know more about where God is moving through our congregation. And so we hope that you will attend. If you want to attend, you can just jot down Meet the Pastors on your tear-off sheet and drop it in the basket so we can have a space reserved for you. You may have noticed that our library committee is having a book sale. You may have noticed it. It's on the right-hand side, kind of out in the narthex area. You're invited to stop and to browse and pick up something for your own devotional life. Lastly, you may have noticed this little insert that is there inside of your bulletin. It's to advertise our upcoming all-congregation gathering on Saturday, October 21st. Up in Newton, Iowa. This is our kind of regional assembly for all the Disciples of Christ churches in Iowa and Minnesota and in North and South Dakota, and it should be a great time up in Newton. If there is enough interest of folks from our church, we may be taking the church van as well, but it'll be a lot of fun. There are workshops to attend. There's worship. Our own Pastor Brooke is on the worship planning team, and so we look forward to a great time at our congregational gathering.
Please join us in worship.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope. Thy wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now.
Let us pray. Loving God, gather us into your presence today. We give you thanks for your all-encompassing love and your provision for us. Guide our worship now and draw us closer to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading today comes from the 105th Psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is mindful of his covenant forever, of the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. May God bless this reading of God's holy word. We invite all of our children to come forward now for a children's message with Kathy Lynn.
Good morning, and how is everyone?
Enthusiastic!
Excellent. All right. I wanted to tell you that today's scripture that we'll read later comes out of the book of Colossians, and I'm just going to zero in on one small part of that. It says, walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, increasing in the knowledge. So, in other words, we want you to use your brain in this case. The importance of growing in wisdom and knowledge is growing in knowledge. So, we're going to need you to think about something. So, we've got a few things that are going to pop up back here on the board, and let's see if you can tell me what they say. Do you know what that means? What? Anyone? All right, someone was at first service. Man overboard. Very good. All right, let's see the next one. And that is, do you think you know? Tell us. Pretty please. What do you think it is? What do you think it is? Kids are doing good. Next one. What do you think, Jack? Banana split. Okay. How about this one? What do you think? No? Good guess, though. What do you think? No, gee, those are good words. What do you think? What kind of eggs?
Normal. Scrambled eggs.
There they got it. All right, last one. Tuna fish. Okay. Hey, you guys did good. You guys did really good here. All right. So that was growing. We grow, we have to grow our brains, I was thinking. So think about growing. We know the things that God wants us to do, but the hard part is actually following through and doing the things that God wants us to do. And that is a part of growing. So tell me, what things grow? What grows? What? Plants? Flowers? Us? There you go. Carrots? Okay. All these things grow. And what do they need to grow? Sunshine, food, water. You guys are nailing it.
Dirt.
And dirt for the plants, sometimes for little boys. So these are the things that plants need to grow and that people need to grow. We need good, healthy food. So I brought a fake plant with me just because there aren't any real ones around right now. This is called a sunflower seed, a sunflower. So they're called sunflower for a good reason. They look yellow. What else do they do? She's got it. They look at the sun. They follow the sun. And as the sun moves across the sky, Actually, the sun doesn't move, but this isn't a science class. But as the sun appears to cross the sky, this flower will turn and follow. It follows the sun. That's what makes it healthy, and that's what makes it grow. It doesn't ever take its eyes off of the sun. That's what we need to do. We all need to do what this flower does. Only the sun that we need to keep our eye on is Jesus. We need to always watch Jesus, follow Jesus, and that is how we will grow. And we will grow to be more like him and do things that are pleasing to the Lord. So will a sunflower grow if it doesn't have water or sun or food or dirt? No. Well, it would die. So we need to remember that we need to follow the sun. We need to follow Jesus so we can grow up and be happy and healthy. So I'm going to tell you a story of something that happened to me just yesterday afternoon, and I thought, wow, this is what this story or the lesson's all about. So I went out to Lowe's. I was running an errand. I was in the middle of a project, and I went to Lowe's. And most of you know that if you go to Lowe's in the middle of a project, you probably don't look your best. Well, I got out there, and I saw Hunter and his family. And Hunter was in the car, and he hopped out. And I was excited because I thought I was going to get a big hug. Well, Hunter saw me and decided I must need $5. So Hunter would not take this $5 back, although I told him today he had to. And I got to thinking that this was doing something that pleased God. Because his mother told me that at the homecoming parade, he was giving away his candy to others. So what does it take to be that thoughtful and follow Christ? Well, it takes good parenting, for one thing. And it also takes us. It takes the church. It takes Sunday school. It takes children's church. And this is how we learn to be good and kind people, by following the sun. But it does tell us, that we need to pay attention and listen. So you guys, when you go to your next class, listen. Okay. Let's have a prayer, and we'll let you go to your next class. Dear God, help me grow and learn more about you every day. Help me do the things that you want me to do. Help me to be more like you, to be kind and helpful to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Several years ago, I sat in church with my two young children, and it came time for the offering. It had been the usual hectic morning, and I soon realized I had no cash, no checkbook, and this was before electronic giving. I hurriedly searched my purse and found a crumpled $1 bill, which I quickly placed in the plate. But not quite quick enough for my four-year-old son to see my meager gift and to announce to me and those around me, "A dollar, Mom? Only a dollar?" I bent down to him and whispered, "I'll give more next week." This seemed to quiet his brutal honesty, but it did give me cause for pause. Why was I treating my giving as a passive good idea, sometimes just an afterthought in my busy life, instead of being more thoughtful, purpose-driven, and generous about my time, talent, and resources to further God's kingdom? God loves and accepts all of our gifts, regardless of the amount. And hopefully you're not sitting next to a four-year-old monitor of your offering. But I know every day I can be more mindful of what I give to God. At this time, we'll collect our offering.
Lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul longs and even faints for you. For hear my
Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for the offerings and gifts this morning. May they be a blessing to this congregation, to our church at large, and to the world. Oh God, we give you thanks for bringing us together this day. We're thankful that among the challenges, successes, joys, and sorrows of the week, we have come through it and gathered to celebrate your love and goodness once again. We give thanks that although we are not worthy, you welcome us at your feet anytime. You welcome us in spite of our selfishness. You welcome us in spite of our greed. You welcome us in spite of our many shortcomings, and you love us anyway. Words would never be enough to thank you for this, O God. We come this day confessing that we have missed out on being who you called us to be. This week we surely missed opportunities. We ignored those in need. We overlooked ways that we could be used to serve you and your mission. O God, awaken us to those opportunities today and every day. Illuminate places where we can shine your light, relationships that we can foster, ways that we can show kindness to the stranger. We pray that we would live out your will for us, allowing your grace and mercy to work in us, to mold and shape us into who you have called us to be. Our world is a hurting world this day, and we lift up the many pressing needs surrounding us. We pray for our friends and loved ones who are in need of healing and your divine intervention. We lift up those from our church family who are going through various medical and personal challenges. We pray for strength to get through all that is facing those in troubling situations. We pray for any experiencing heartbreak, turmoil, all who experience need of any kind. Oh God, be close to those who mourn and need you. We continue to lift up the many difficult situations in our own country. Melt away hatred, contempt, distrust, and partisan divides. We need unity now more than ever, and we pray that you would make us instruments of your peace so that we could sow peace and loving justice all around us. We also pray, O God, for other parts of the world. Where there is violence, we pray for peace. We pray especially for the Middle East and all that is occurring there. We pray that you would protect innocent lives and comfort all who mourn. May your peace rain down over all. As we look at the signs of autumn coming around us, and we consider the season of rest that comes for the natural world, we pray that we could allow things that are unneeded to die away, to take a rest this season. We pray that we would use this time to reevaluate how we may grow closer and encourage growth rooted in you in the coming seasons of new life. Encourage in us a spirit of rest and renewal, and allow us to cultivate within ourselves the ability to be shaped by you. We give you thanks for motivation to grow and to evolve, and we give you thanks for a Savior who inspires unending growth and love. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and together we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second reading today comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. For this reason, Paul writes, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks.
Continuing here today with our fall kickoff sermon series called Core Values. We are in week 4 out of 7 together, and so we've just passed the halfway mark through this series. This series is based on the core values of our church, those biblical values and those attributes that we hold dear together as a church community. These are the gifts of God that we see moving around us, and we want to foster them to grow and flourish here in our midst. And so, in case you've missed them, our core values are grace and kindness, teamwork, dependability, spirituality, openness, and generosity. Up to this point today, we have ticked the boxes of grace, kindness, and spirituality. We'll have a few more to go in the coming weeks. And so this week for us here today, the word for us is dependability. In our house, very often, when we are on the way to school, we have a little roll call. Much like the teacher would have a roll call at the beginning of class, Anderson here, Johnson here, Yonker present, we do the very same thing, only instead of calling the roll about the people who were inside of our car, we call the roll with our school supplies, based on what is needed for that day's learning. And so whenever we call the roll in our car, as we're backing out of the garage and turning to go up the street, it goes something like this. Backpack, check. Water bottle, check. Lunchbox, check. Trumpet, check. Basketball shoes, uniform, check and check. Homework, check. Sign papers, check. Chromebook and plug, check. It goes like that on and on, sometimes until we're almost to the school. However, sometimes instead of getting a check when the roll is called, you have to give out a stop the car, hurry back into the house, grab the lunch, grab the trumpet, grab the shoes so that we are not too late to the school. My wife Liz and I do our best to be good, responsible parents and help our kids with everything that they need to be prepared for the day of school. But over the years of our kids learning, I have taken so many lunch boxes and water bottles and music folders into the main office at our school. I am pretty sure that our school secretaries think that I'm like some 45-year-old deadbeat dad who could not get out of the fifth grade on their own because they know me by name and face so very well. The common refrain at our house is always, make sure you have all your stuff. Make sure you have everything that you need for the day. Now, I know this does not just apply to school days, but there are times in our life where we have to do our own kind of inner roll call. I mean, if you have been a parent of any shape or size, then you know that once you have kids or grandkids or foster kids or whoever, the things that you are responsible for in life expands exponentially. Diaper bag, diaper bag, diapers, snacks, milk. I mean, the list is long and winding. And sometimes it feels like you are forgetting something as you walk out of the house. Sometimes it feels like you're forgetting everything as you walk out of the house. And you have nothing together. I mean, that's how it is in life. I mean, we all walk into those situations where we walk into the meeting and walk into the door and we feel completely unprepared. There are days where we feel completely inadequate and we have 100% imposter syndrome in a meeting. I mean, in my own life, looking back over the years, I was ordained as a pastor when I was 25, and I was called to my first church at the ripe old age of 26. And so for a good long while, I had to stop and think, what in the world am I doing here? What in the world am I doing here thinking that I could lead these people, some of whom could be my great-grandparents, and now I call myself their pastor? Who am I in this situation? Unprepared and feeling inadequate. You see, it must have been something like that for the Colossians. As we're working through our core values, the word is dependability, and this word comes to us from the small little book of Colossians in the New Testament. And because it is a letter to the church in this town called Colossae, it's important to remember that what we read is simply just one side of the story. It's not like reading somebody's text messages today where you can see their phone and scroll up and see the whole conversation. And it's not like an email where you get the email on the response and the back and forth. Reading the letters in the Bible in our New Testament is almost like finding a box of old love letters in your basement. It's one side of the story, but not the whole story. And so we can only speculate what was going on in the Colossians church. It seems what we can gather is that they have been living their faith. They have been following Jesus Christ, but it seems that they may have had some doubts. They may have had some struggles on what it means to be a Christian in their daily life. That must have been the case because the tone and the tenor of the message that we just heard from Colossians 1 is a big, long word of encouragement. Paul is trying to tell them that they have received everything they need when they first received the gospel. The very first time they were equipped to serve Jesus Christ. They don't lack for anything, Paul says. It's like they've done the roll call in the back seat on the way to school and they've listed off everything and they have ticked every single box. And so we heard the word from Paul. Paul and his friends said, "We've been praying for you that you can lead a life worthy of God's calling, that we've been praying that you'll be pleased in the Lord, that you may bear fruit out in your life." He is encouraging them to be made strong because they are strong in God's strength. And this power does not come from anything they've done on their own, but they're given this power from God. And God is preparing them to endure everything that comes at them in life. And not just endure it, but endure it with patience, joyfully giving thanks to God. And even more so, he says, God has rescued you from the power of darkness, from all those evil forces around your life, and he has now transferred you into God's grace and kingdom. It's like before you were in sin, but now you are in grace. Before you were in darkness, and now you are in light. Before you may have fallen short, but now you are brought up and built up. Paul's saying that God has already done all these things for you. We can bear fruit and live a life in Christ because of all that God has been doing. We need this good word. We need to hear this again today, especially when we think about dependability. Because we come at life and we come to our life in faith full of doubts and sometimes full of excuses. Of feeling that we fall short of the grace of God, that we never measure up to receiving God's love. I was reminded this past week that a couple years ago we showed this video for Back to Church Sunday, like Sunday in September when you can invite your friends to come back to church. We showed this video here, and it was so good; it has stuck with me all the years later. And in this video, like, people were invited to church, but each person on the video gave a list of reasons why they could not come to church. Like, we don't have the right clothes, we don't know enough, like, if people really knew me, then they wouldn't like me, and like, they said, like, the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites, they said. And so with, like, each call and response, with each negative excuse, there was a positive response, like, people say, "Well, I don't have the right kind of clothes to come to church," the excuse says. But the response is, "Well, just put on clothes and come to church. That's the only requirement. Wear clothes to come to church, and you're welcome." That's still like the response here. Wear clothes and you can come to church. But like the excuse was given, "Well, I can't come to church because the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites." And like the video response says, "Well, there's always room for one more hypocrite here in the church, and so you're invited to come." And like the excuse was given, "Well, if people really knew me and what I've done in my past, then I would not be welcomed." The response is, in God's grace, we are all welcome. None of us feel like we've all figured it out. All of us feel lacking. We're not smart enough. Like, we have our doubts, and we come at life and faith with a mindset of scarcity. That's why in life we consume and we consume and consume, because it feels like we are lacking in so much. And so when we come at our ways of faith, when the roll call is given and we are asked to serve and we are invited to come, our response is, "Maybe," or "I don't know," or "It depends." I mean, we feel inadequate in so many ways, and we have a long and a winding list. What Paul is trying to tell us is that in God's grace and through the love of Jesus Christ, we have everything we need already. In fact, we have more than enough. We are made worthy on those days that we feel unworthy. We are made strong when we feel weak. We can endure everything that happens to us because God is the one who gives us strength. We don't need anything else in life because God's love is already here. Paul's trying to tell us that we are already equipped to go and serve Jesus Christ. And so in this world that is full of feeling like we never have enough and we are never enough, and we give responses like, I don't know, and I'm not good enough, and maybe, and it depends. We're called to be dependable. We're called because God has equipped us and given us grace. That old saying is true, that God calls and equips those that God needs to serve. And in those times that we feel like we do not measure up and have nothing to say, God is the one who fills the gaps. And God intercedes on our behalf. And so in a world that says, it depends, we're called to be dependable. Now, the thing about these core values that we've been going through is that when our church leadership a number of years ago helped us with this visioning and talking about our mission, we didn't just like name these values and say, this is who God wants us to be. It was awesome back then, and like we stuck it in a drawer and left it to then get dusty and pulled it out years later. But we actually talk about the core values of our church at every single staff meeting on Monday morning. We talk about them at every single church board meeting. Like, we literally go around the room and we talk about where we have seen these core values at work in the life of our community. And so when it comes to the core value of dependability, we often lift up and say things like, you know, I've seen dependability in church. Of folks who get to church early on a Sunday morning when lots of people are still laying comfy, warm in their bed. They get to church early and they make the coffee. God bless the coffee makers on Sunday morning in church. They come when the rest of us have not arrived, but they come so that when you come for Sunday school, when you come for worship, and you want a fresh cup of coffee, it is here when you pull the tab. We've seen this dependability in teachers who come and lead Sunday school, children's church, and jump, and all of our other classes for children and youth and adults, who even though they already have their own busy life and their own full calendars, without them being so dependable and reliable, we could not teach the message of Jesus Christ. Without them, we would not be the church. We always lift up and say we've seen dependability in our church choir and in our worship band, offering their gifts of music each and every week. It is through our tech room folks who hang out in the sound booth and in the tech room every week, helping us broadcast our worship and our message of God's love online to people in Iowa and Missouri and Texas and Indiana and Germany and Africa, all over the place, every single week. We could talk for hours about all the people who are amazing and who work behind the scenes to make our church what it is. We see dependability in them, the Spirit of the risen Christ moving through them every single week. And this is what Paul is telling the Colossians. Remember, God has already given you everything you need for ministry and service and life and faith. All you have to do is share it. We don't lack for anything because of who Jesus is and how much God loves you. And so all we have to do is be dependable. Oh, loving and gracious God, we're so thankful for the life and witness of Jesus Christ, your Son. We're so thankful that he came into our midst to show us the way. We're so thankful for your Holy Spirit moving through him and the apostles and the women and the men and the teachers down through the years that has now come to us. We're thankful for our church and for all those who have prepared this place for us, for the people who sat in these pews and preached from these pulpits and preside at the table long before we came. Their life and their witness has led us here this morning. We pray, O God, that we might pick up the baton and we might carry it forward, that we might live a life of faith worthy of the calling to which you have called us, that we might share the gifts of hope and peace and grace and love each and every single day, here in this church community and at work and life and home every single day. Help us to be the people that you have us to be. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.